Welcome, good morning, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions. I'm your hostess, Phyllis Pricer, coming to you from Washington, D.C., through the courtesy of BBS Radio and its affiliated stations. And we're so glad to welcome this week Mrs. Marguerite Manning, a wonderful, wonderful astrologer. And she's been on the show before, but she hasn't been for a little while. I was so shocked to find Marguerite. It's been over a year.
I know. That's hard to believe.
Life just gets caught up, doesn't it?
It sure does.
And Marguerite has a book, or it's still one book, or do you have more than one now?
No, I've written a few articles, but it's still Cosmic Karma. It's still the one book.
Okay, Cosmic Karma. And, frankly, what we had decided to discuss, or she'd like to, is the karmic implications of the 12th house of the natal chart. What is the 12th house of the natal chart?
Well, first of all, Phyllis, thank you for having me back again. I just love Higher Dimensions. It's one of my favorite shows on BBS, as well as you're one of my favorite people. So, again, thank you for inviting me back.
And my joy and pleasure.
The 12th house of the natal chart is my favorite house. Our ancient astrologers used to refer to it as the house of secret sorrows and self-undoing. But
really?
Right. But the neat part about it is that the 12th house is the home of the soul and the past. So, yes, of course, our past can be was where our secrets are and our self-undoing and a lot of things that we don't understand. And this is the one part of the universe. When you come into this incarnation, when all of us are born into this incarnation, the actual energies that we're physically born under, the scientific, physical, earthly, universal energies that we're born under are the same exact energies our soul is being born into in this incarnation. And that particular section of the universe, the geometric section that's on that very, very eastern horizon, just above it, is the 12th house of the natal chart. And that's considered, and it was by ancient astronomers, the home of the soul. So whatever universal energies are occupying those 30 degrees of the natal chart is an indication of the soul's past and the karmic implications of the karmic issues that the soul has brought back in, and what I like to refer to the soul's cosmic contrails. It's just following the debris that's following them in. And, you know, many times it's our talents that we've suppressed. Many times it's very good things that we, because we left that last incarnation, misprogramming them in our minds, they are now suppressed in this lifetime. And we promised the universe that we would dig them up and at least bring them out in the broad light of day and look at them. Kind of like finding out that there really is no boogeyman in the closet. That's basically what we're all afraid of. Unfortunately, because the soul just is so loves anything to do with the past and is really tied to the past, I always say it has a penchant for cruise control in the rearview mirror. If we let the soul go into the 12th house all by itself without our conscious awareness, it could get caught up in the past, and that's what happens to us. We go back, and that's when, hence, it becomes the house of secrets, sorrows, and self-undoing, when we go back in there and start getting caught up and reliving our past, not relieving it.
You know, that's kind of, isn't that interesting, because a lot of people have a tendency to hang on to the past.
Absolutely.
Even in this lifetime, in the past of this lifetime, which I, from what you're saying, may be a part of a past of another lifetime.
Absolutely, and that's the thing, and you and I are both members of the ARE, and this is one of the things that Edgar Cayce professed all the time, that our soul is, first of all, so much older than we are in this incarnation and is bringing so many things back with it, that whenever we touch on to any of those things, it's so familiar to us that we immediately run there, whether it be a person, a situation, or a wound.
And we think that's what it's supposed to be, and so we hang on to it with both our little paws.
Absolutely. And
instead
so,
of releasing.
Absolutely. And the constellation on the 12th house of the natal chart is an indication to me of where you were. It's kind of like the window into your past and what you brought with you in this lifetime, if there are any planets or energies. And I have your chart here, Phyllis, if you don't mind giving your listeners a little background.
I would love it, but just I think I heard a little beep. Did somebody call in already? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Welcome to the Higher Dimensions. Who's calling?
Yes, I was going to speak to your guest.
Who is this?
Excuse me?
Yes, who are you?
My name is Robin. I'm sorry, it's hard to hear. My name is Robin.
Robin, and where are you from, Robin?
I'm from Virginia.
What part of Virginia?
Hampton.
Hanson. Are you familiar with the ARE and Edgar Cayce?
Excuse me?
Are you familiar with the ARE, the Association of Research and Enlightenment?
No.
And Edgar Cayce, no? Look it up. You're close enough.
You're not too far from there, Robin. Robin, when is your birth date?
12/24/1954.
Okay.
December 24th, 1954. And
yes.
What time were you born, Robin?
I'm not sure of the time. I do know it was in the later afternoon, but I'm not sure of the time.
Yeah, I need the specific time in order to give you an indication of what sign is on your 12th house. But give me your birthplace.
Manhattan, New York City.
Brooklyn or Manhattan?
Manhattan.
Okay. Let me see what I can...
It makes a difference.
It does. It really does. There are three universal rulers in which we get a complete picture of what the universe looked like at the moment of your birth. And one of the universal rulers that will have to come together like a kaleidoscope is the date that you were born.
That I understand.
The actual constellations where they were positioned.
Right.
The time of day to see where the tilt of the axis was and where we know where those constellations were. And then, of course, the latitude and longitude, which is your birthplace, so we know at what point to take the picture from of the sky.
Isn't that close enough, though, if you're...
Well, not really, Phil, simply because that's where all the math comes in the sense of knowing the exact time. I know the exact tilt of the Earth's axis, and that would tell me what constellation is on her 12th house cusp.
Oh, okay.
Now, you
okay.
say sometime in the afternoon. What I can tell you about the degree that you came into this incarnation, like Phyllis... Robin, you came into this incarnation with a Capricorn degree, and what that tells me is that in your previous incarnation, your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to skillfully earn and effectively utilize things like power, authority, respect, and status. And you're now here in this lifetime to show all of us how to manage and master the official responsibilities of parental authority, professional career, and public reputation. In order to know what house that son has been committed to, your soul promised to use that degree, I have to know the exact time of your birth. But based on you saying sometime in the afternoon, I can try to weigh in a little bit. I normally don't like to do this, Robin, but it looks like you came into this incarnation with an eighth house son, which means that you promised to take that degree, that you know how to work the system, you know how to work within organized rules of structure, you know how to gain authority, you know how to gain respect, and you have an incredible amount of ambition, and you promised in this incarnation that your soul would use that degree to make a difference. And with an eighth house son, you have to get down in the blood-curling trenches and make a difference. You can be either a paramedic or a psychologist, but you have to be able to get down to the bottom of things and bring them up for people to see and address things that make a difference in their lives. Does that make sense to you, Robin?
Yes, it does, and I'm presently in school to, I'm trying to obtain my teaching degree.
And what do you want to teach?
First through sixth grade.
Did you ever have any kind of sign language experience or working with, handicapped children or children that are, underprivileged?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because this is the type of work that will be extremely fulfilling for you. When you can get down, and being a teacher, you have the wonderful credentials for that with all your birth energies, but it's almost as if, Robin, and our sun house is always the hardest thing to do. That degree that you have in Capricorn, like Phyllis's, is so easy. You know how to do that. You wake up, eat, breathing, and sleeping that Capricorn degree. But where you promise to apply it, that eighth house is going to be the hard part for you. But that's where your joy lies. That's where your success lies, and that's where your fulfillment lies. When you're down there making a difference, when you get that teaching degree, and you feel you're absolutely making a difference to children who absolutely need it, and becoming an authority figure in your own right, that's when you'll shoot to the top of the ladder of success.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Robin.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Now, I'm excited about what you told her. So tell me, because there's some exciting news. that I believe is finally going to come true for me, and it's just up that alley.
Well, this is the thing with you, Phyllis. Like Robin before you, you and I have discussed this before. Yes. With that degree in Capricorn, you have all this ambition, and this is one thing Capricorn degrees have earned in their past incarnation.
Right.
They have more ambition than the rest of us. They're only... And you'll probably be able to confirm this. Your only real setback and fallback is when you become blinded by it, because you have so much more than the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how to, you can absolutely know how to gain the authority that you need. You know immediately how systems work. You know immediately what the pecking order is. And you demand respect for what you do, because this is where you earned your degree. Now, you came into this incarnation, as you and I have discussed many times, with a first house son. So this is what you're here to do. And many times when you have a first house son, you can get caught up in all of your own issues. But your joy and your fulfillment and your reward is going to come when you, and you, all, I believe you already do this to a large degree,
yeah,
is when you give other people a strong sense of who they are as a physical, independent individual.
Mm-hmm.
You're here to give others the self-esteem that you never had in your past life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, in fact, I do. I encourage people a great deal, and that's fabulous.
But you're also here, and there's one little
yes,
twist with your, with this son of yours that is opposed Jupiter, which is your gift from your past life. You're, this terrific gift that you have, I don't know if you've experimented with it enough, Phyllis. You have an incredible gift of being able to change people physically, as well as giving them the self-esteem, their physical body. You have the ability and you have a gift from a previous life. I don't know if it's in medicine. I don't know if it's in self-development of some kind, but it's an ability to actually improve their physical condition for them as well.
Yeah, actually, I've done that with broken bones and
exactly.
And when my daughter was born with her shins were... slightly curved, and they were talking about having to, and her feet were curved, and they were talking about having to put, what they used to do was put on a bar and put the feet in with a bar holding them and straightening them out. What I did was just massage her legs and her little feet, and within 3 weeks, the curled feet and the bent shins were straight.
This is truly a gift. You have a quintile, which is really rare, and it's right on the money. And
uh-huh,
this is usually an indication. I'm not surprised that people who have a psychic gift or an ability or a talent of some kind that is fairly rare. But when we were talking about the 12th house, you came into this incarnation with Sagittarius on the 12th house cusp. And the ruler,
wow,
of Sagittarius is Jupiter, the planet I was just talking about, which is luck and abundance. You have it there in the 7th house opposing that sun. But so very briefly, what that means in my research and in karmic astrology that I do is when you come into your soul's previous existence was one in your last life of abundant good fortune and really deep philosophical beliefs.
Right.
You were dedicated to the pursuit in that incarnation and promotion of truth and enlightenment and
yes,
in you like kind of like the spirited crusades for justice or adventurous quests for knowledge or just defending the underdog. Okay, this is what you did in this last life. And you inspired others to move beyond the limits of their existing boundaries intellectually and physically. Unfortunately, and this doesn't surprise me because I know your exuberant personality, at that particular time, there was some type of reckless disregard for consequences. You were so strongly willed in believing in what you did. It led to the loss of either your liberty, privilege, or prosperity for the people closest to you. Like this abundance might have been taken away from your family. So in that lifetime, you were forced to suppress your high principles and controversial beliefs at the time to either obtain the freedom for your family or your own, and which when people first meet you now, and maybe even when in the first half of this life, you were much more spiritual, insightful, and risk-taking than you would outwardly appear.
That's right.
People, that was something you suppressed because you believed, or your soul did, that it got you into trouble in your past life. And I believe that you must have had some kind of really incredible reckoning to realize that that wasn't what got you into trouble, those beliefs and that insight and that spirituality. It was your ability just to think of consequences.
Well, the thing is, I was a Jewish rabbi, and I died during... the early part of World War II, I was tortured to death.
Okay.
Trying to give information. I was supposed to give information to the Gestapo, and I wouldn't, and my family was killed in front of me to get me to talk. So.
That makes a lot of sense. And you know,
yes.
Your hidden strength, we talked about this, is
yes.
the house of secret sorrows and self-undoing.
Yes.
Your hidden strength, this is also the house of your hidden strength, and it tells me that your hidden strength in this lifetime, no surprise to anyone listening,
yes.
is you have a great sense of humor, and divine intuition is your hidden strength. Your past undoing was unrealistic expectations.
Yes.
And I think you believed so much in what you were doing. Again,
yes.
the consequences of how it could hurt you or people just being so truthful, being so out there, didn't dawn on you at the time.
That's correct. And I've still had to struggle with that. If
right.
I'd be too honest. In fact, I've been told I've been too honest in this lifetime. I should learn to be, what, more discerning?
Exactly. And, you know, and that's hard for somebody like you. But you know what? That's why, because this is, that's why they call it the house of undoing. Because
yes.
you could, if you wanted to, or if you let yourself, you could unconsciously avoid the freedom and abundance you so desire in this
right.
lifetime by becoming involved with confining people, restrictive
yes.
situations,
yeah.
or that type of the people that from the, those kind of people from your past. And
right.
again, when you
right.
have this, when you have a Sagittarius with Jupiter placed where it is, your past experience is included right off the bat
right.
in the ministry of some kind, which you just
yes.
told me, philosophy, education.
Yep.
Absolutely. Exploration, and even law of some time.
Yes.
That kind of encompasses everything you just told me.
Exactly. That's what I said. It was right on the money. Now, we thank you, and we could go back to it if there's still more, but I see one or two people have logged on. So
okay, great.
Welcome to the higher dimensions. Who's calling?
Oh, thank you. This is Linda.
Hi,
and
Linda. Where
that
are you
was
from?
Incredibly insightful, and we are the truth seekers, so here
yes,
we are.
We are. Thank you.
Hello, Linda.
Where
Hello.
Are you from, my dear?
Well, my birthday is February the 20th, 1956,
uh-huh.
and I was born at 8:22 in the morning.
Okay, a morning baby. Okay.
Yes, 8:22 a.m.?
Yes.
Okay. And where were you born, Linda?
Tampa, Florida.
Tampa?
Tampa,
okay.
yes.
Ooh, how nice. And where do you live now there?
Up in Washington State.
Oh, how lovely.
Yes, the other end.
Beautiful, beautiful country up there. I can't wait to go visit one day.
It is beautiful.
Yes,
and
my
the sun's
mother
out today.
It, loved it.
Okay, I'm just pulling you
That's
up here.
That's all right.
Now.
I'm just chatting to keep up airtime.
Okay.
That's all right. That's okay. Anyway, I'm so glad you called in.
Okay, Linda, it looks like you came into this incarnation. You came into this incarnation. Your sun is at, I don't know if you're aware of it, but a lot of people might have told you you're on the cusp with your sun. You're not. You came into this incarnation as 00 degree Pisces sun. So your degree is in Pisces at the moment of your birth.
Right.
But you came in, which is really interesting, with Aquarius on your 12th house. So you have this great juicy Pisces sun that has all this earned its degree in compassion, dissolving divisive boundaries, altering states of consciousness, and getting rid of the harsh concepts of reality. This is something that you earned your degree in, universal love to the nth degree. But you come in with Aquarius on the 12th, and Uranus rules Aquarius, and I'm looking for Uranus in your chart, and it's down there in the fifth house of your creativity, your children, yourself, your creative self-expression. And looking at the aspects that is being made to Uranus, that is the ruler of your 12th house, very briefly, this is what I can come, and it's squaring Neptune, which is the planet of karma. This tells me, this is what your past life, your soul's previous existence, Linda, was one of humanitarian ideals and creative ingenuity. You were very, very brilliant in this incarnation. You were committed to the prospect of universal brotherhood and social reform in this past life, but you became involved with people or groups while they stimulated your brilliance and shared your scientific principles at the time, and trust me, you were real outside-the-box thinkers in this lifetime. What springs to mind is very much like an Atlantis-type incarnation, very high-minded group of people you were with, but they had these radical ideas and revolutionary methods or they were unconventional themselves, and they provoked irreversible upheaval, which you were not counting on. That you were not going for the violent rebellion type of thing at the time, and it led to your extreme loss or confinement. And as a result of that, you came into this incarnation being overwhelmed by guilt and shame, and you suppressed your creative genius and buried that incredible intellectual individuality making you much more attendant in this lifetime, inventive, and yes, even eccentric, and sometimes even uncooperative than you outwardly appear, because you dig your heels and nobody's going to push you into doing harm again in your mind. And that's why sometimes you can get, nobody knows that about you, you probably don't even appear that way, but you can get sick in that respect and stubborn. Your previous efforts to embrace the future or think outside the box and evoke kind of revolutionary change left you unconsciously resentful of tradition and authority and instinctively drawn to anything unique or unorthodox. And you know what, Linda? I would bet that you're secretly down below that juicy, spicy sun determined to be different in this lifetime. Would you agree?
Yes, very
okay.
Much so.
Your past undoing was the innovative and rebellious tendencies of your associates. Your hidden strength now in this lifetime, Linda, and this is a big one, and you've got to bring it out of the 12th house, is your progressive thinking and those flashes of brilliant intuition you get sometimes that you ignore. And you get them, don't you? But you don't trust them.
Yeah, there is that.
Right, that's the issue, because you believe that's what got you into trouble in the last lifetime. And it's not. It's so not about what you were trying to do and your goal and your trying to evoke change. It was about just handing over the trust completely to your associates. That's what it was about. Your freedom, your addiction in this lifetime, or your weakness is freedom is your addiction. You're so addicted to being totally free. And on some level, nonconformity is your weakness. So you can often unconsciously avoid the close relationships or close friendships, I should say, and camaraderie you desire by being drawn to secret societies, clandestine affiliations, or even treacherous associates. You have to be more discerning in this lifetime. And just because somebody feels comfortable and familiar, remember what Phyllis and I were talking about, how the soul loves to find anything familiar or that feels like it connected to in the past. That might not be a good thing for you. When somebody feels totally that you're totally comfortable with, this could be someone from your past that just ran roughshod and took you down the road with them. And you've got to be a little bit more discerning about not who your friends are, but giving up your power to them. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, total sense. Makes
good.
You want to cry. It's so truthful.
But you know what, Linda? You have this intellectual brilliance and this ability to think outside the box.
Yes.
That you're bringing in, and I'm going to let Phyllis do her psychic thing on you just to see if she's getting the same thing. But you have to use that in this incarnation. Wouldn't you agree, Phyllis?
Absolutely, and not be afraid, because you have heard so often, and you've winced so often. It's you've got to trust yourself. One of the most important things that you could do is learn to trust yourself. And we are all taught in this lifetime not to do that, not to trust in our intuitions, and not to believe in ourselves. And you know somewhere inside of your gut that that doesn't make sense. And you're right, it doesn't. So hang in there and learn to grow with your intuition. Does that make sense?
Yes, and it just right now it's creating a bit of isolation.
Yes, yes. One has to make the effort to open up and step out. Believe me, I can understand. I can empathize with you by wanting to crawl into a corner and drawing the opening in after you, you know, and just hiding from the world and saying this is a whole lot easier, not having to deal with whatever is there is out there.
Well, I'm
but
always creating
true.
Value. I'm learning. I'm studying.
Absolutely, and continue to do so.
And you know what, Linda, with this particular birth energy and with this particular constellation on your 12th house, it's almost a dichotomy. You're a closet maverick who suffers from frequent feelings of loneliness because you're convinced it was your associations that got you into trouble. And it wasn't. Again, it wasn't being amongst all these brilliant people, and Phyllis will probably confirm that. It was your ability of just handing your power over to them.
Absolutely.
Oh.
So you should be jumping into associations and groups, but holding your own.
Yes, and you can.
Right.
That's
it's
my
sort
intention
of like
is
being
to
in
start.
A cult where you were encouraged. Well, it's because we give our power to others that others become so powerful.
Right.
We don't want to do that, and you know instinctively that's not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I love to empower people, but then after a few, fatal flaws, you just have to pull back your energies.
Well, what you do is when you give to other people, you don't give yourself. You encourage them to bring out what they have from within them and holding true to yourself. There's a book out there called Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die. Good darn book to read.
Well, I'll check that out.
Okay. By Carol with a K, K-A-R-O-L, Truman, T-R-U-M-A-N. Excellent, excellent book. Also, practice looking in the mirror at yourself and telling yourself that you love you, who you are, and who you are becoming every day, that you are worthy and deserving of love. One of the first lessons I learned was the hardest was to tell myself I love myself because I was so worthy and deserving of that love.
And tell me something, Linda. Have you read Cosmic Karma?
No.
Yes, you should read her book.
Well, the other thing is you can go onto my website at www.marguerite-manning.com and read the first chapter. It's an excerpt under the book just to see if this speaks to your soul and it resonates with your soul. Because
yes.
I think everything Phyllis is saying is absolutely right on, and I really think this is, with your 12th house sun, I think all of this is coming to the surface in this lifetime for a reason.
All right. I want to start intentional community to buy some land and share.
Excellent.
And part of me is really scared about doing that because
don't be
it's
afraid.
Hard.
See?
To
take away the fear first.
You know, if you're
love
counting on yourself, if you're counting on yourself, you're going to be fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
And it will be successful, love.
Thank you for the pep talk.
You're
and
very
affirmations.
Welcome.
More than that, we care. We truly care.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in, darling.
Oh, thank you for being there.
Oh, you're welcome. It's our joy. Believe me. I have so much fun with this. Okay.
All right.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, isn't that nice? You know, it's just a joy when you can help people.
Absolutely.
And my heart sings with this. What I was going to share is that the program that I have been trying to develop and worked almost 20 years, I think it's finally going to take off. I've been asked to submit business plans by two financial investing groups. And with this new president and his initiative of education and health care, it's a nursing assistant course that I developed and have spent almost 20 years developing.
Oh, Phyllis, I cannot believe this is exactly what I was talking about.
Yes.
This is the physical, taking your psychic and your spirituality and bringing it into the physical realm, bringing all three of those components together in that with that first house sun of yours. This is where you're going to shine, and this is where your joy lies.
Absolutely. It's going to be a wild success because there are other components to it, and it's the right time, it's the right place, and you know what? Just so people know, is I have spent so many years with this program, but I was ready to go with it. My soul said, no, you, Phyllis, are not ready. You have to polish and change yourself. And because I wasn't ready and failure's not an option, I had to grow more in my soul and strengthen that before I could go ahead with this program. I just didn't notice it. I began to suspect that a few years ago. I had to change Phyllis so that when success came, I didn't screw up. Does that make sense?
It does, but you know what else makes a lot of sense looking at your chart? In your chart, and we could go into a whole past life thing for you, but in your chart with Mars in your 12th house, you were very gifted in your last life, but you were very controlled by your feelings for a man. And,
well, I would not like to think that because I was a man in my last life.
let me tell you, in the life directly, just prior to this one, there was a man that you were very much in awe of. That, in other words, it's kind of like we were talking to Linda. You chose to hook your wagon to his star. And I think in this lifetime, especially with a first house son, I know this to be a case, is that it's not about you hooking your star to anybody else. It's about you doing it yourself.
That's correct.
Well, and you don't need any man. You don't need any other person to make that success happen. It's all about you. And if it took, my feeling is if it took you 20 years, it might have been that with this positioning and your past life, it might have took your soul 19 years to realize that you had the goods on your own.
That's very possible. And also my mother also encouraged me to find a husband because without a man, how could you survive?
Absolutely.
That
so here we are, coming back from that past energy of you believing that you can't do it without another man.
Yeah, and that's true. And now I figured out, well, there hasn't been anybody around. I'm still here.
Now here's another really interesting thing in this last life. You were so much more gifted and talented than the man you hooked your wagon to.
Yes.
So here's the thing. In this lifetime, it's very possible, and only you can answer that, and of course you don't have to do it on the air, but you might find yourself attracted to men or finding partners in your life that you are really gung-ho about initially, and then after you get to know them, you realize, or other people around you are saying, Phyllis, you are so much more evolved than this individual.
Sound like my mother and everybody else around me.
Okay, so that's what, so now I'm, okay, now I feel better because I'm not surprised that it took 19 years because that's what your soul had to move past.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, yes, I figured, you know, I've got it made in shape now. I can.
You sure do.
And I think this is the year that it's going to come through. Anyway, I am tickled pink. I have investors waiting to do this. And I can move ahead, and hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know, because I've been wanting to do this teaching course and this new teaching modality for absolute years, and I think we have another caller.
Great.
Welcome to the Higher Dimension. Who's calling?
Good afternoon.
Did they hang up? No, you're here. Breathe. I can hear you breathing. Talk. Who's calling?
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good afternoon, Phyllis. I'm happy I got through. My name is Steve.
Steve,
I'm calling
welcome.
From New Jersey.
And you're from Jersey.
I've read Marguerite's book.
Oh, and, fabulous, Marguerite. You're a fan.
I was fascinated by how she speaks about the 12th house.
Thank you,
and,
Steve.
And I wanted to get a little bit more insight into
when's your birthday,
my,
Steve?
Spiritual development.
When's your birthday, Steve?
My birthday is actually, like your last call, it's in February. It's February 22nd. 1954,
mm-hmm.
And I was born at 6:35 p.m.
In what city?
In Brooklyn, New York.
Uh-huh.
Holy
stomping ground. Okay, Steve, this is a highly powerful birth chart. It's loaded with trines and squares, which is just to talk about your life in general, and this is very typical of another juicy Pisces sun. It probably seems to you that your life is divinely guided or extremely challenging. It probably doesn't seem like there's any in between road for you. But you came into this incarnation with Leo on your 12th house cusp, and I'm looking for your ruler, Leo's ruler, which is the sun, your Pisces sun there in the sixth, and it tells me based on that particular setup and the fact that your sun is trining the planet of karma, which rules Pisces, which is Neptune. It's also trining Saturn, and it's also trining the moon.
Wow.
And I'm right, and it's got some challenges. It's squaring Mars and it's conjunct Venus, but it's got these three major trines, and it's the ruler of your 12th house. So it tells me, Stephen, your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to expertly, when you come into this house with a Leo on the 12th house, with your soul's previous path of development was one of personal distinction and creative brilliance and courageous leadership. So my feeling is you were a leader of some kind in this past incarnation. I'm very close to saying royalty because of the connection to the father and the mother. It was almost as if you inherited a particular position that was passed down to you. I don't want to say politics because with your Jupiter up there, it looks like this was something that you inherited. It was very favorable in a position of power in a last lifetime. It might have even been a position where religion was important too, where a powerful position of leadership, and you were very religious in this position. But somehow, Steve, a humiliating fall from grace left your self-esteem so bruised you had no alternative but to bury your ego in this life now. And as a result, your ability to dominate so completely and govern so effectively is now very well conceived, and they're rarely obvious until tested. And sometimes there's a burning annoyance inside of you that people are doing things wrong, but you don't have any clue how your soul steps back many times and doesn't want any part of it because of the bad taste that it left in your mouth. You have tremendous influence and remarkable willpower. That's your hidden strength in this lifetime. Your past undoing was a powerful ego and excessive pride where you really believed in the counselors and the people around you that said you were going to, you know, rise to great positions of glory, and you might have given a little bit of your power and your control up to the people below you. Your passion for love and romance. You might have been involved in other things at the time. You handed off some duties to people below you that you truly, truly trusted. As a result of
this... They were his counselors.
Okay, in this lifetime, that makes sense. You now work best alone, Steve, independently, or even in a secluded setting, as this past left you with an aversion to being responsible for others. You're extremely good at it, but it's almost like when it's your turn to do the discipline or your turn to take the leadership, your soul says, remember what happened in the last lifetime. So you can unconsciously avoid positions of leadership, authority, and even parenthood by either relying on partners for income, suppressing your own creativity, or attracting unhealthy romances. You're deeply affected by your father when you have Leo on the 12th like this, or any other authority figures, because your own power in this lifetime usually involves healing, confinement, or the unconscious past, digging into people's past and helping them deal with it. You are often the power behind the throne, Steve, and it's often your best-kept secret. People don't get that about you. Your past influence, you were some kind of, again, ruler, politician, royalty, leader.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing with this, and I'll let Phyllis give you some psychic ability. Your soul is so dying for the applause, but you're going to have to get into the spotlight, Steve. It's not going to happen on the sidelines.
How do I do that?
Get over the fact of not wanting to be that authority figure, because you'd make a great one. You'd make a great one.
Well, that seems to be right on the money, because I've always struggled. I think I have natural leadership qualities, but I have to consciously pull back from trying to be a leader.
That's your soul saying to you, remember what happened in the last lifetime? I mean, you have to turn around.
Right.
That old Chad and Jeremy song, that was yesterday, and yesterday's gone. I am not there now. I'm supposed to be a leader in this lifetime. Well, you go take it, Phyllis. What are you getting on him?
I am getting that he was with counselors, that he got a little bit overly, he was spoiled. What can I tell you? Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's got all these trines. It's very possible. It was a really very blessed life.
He was. He had it. And the thing is, you began to believe your own press, but you were also led down the garden path by your counselors, those people that you relied on. And what they did was tell you what you wanted to hear, in a sense, but when you had feelings of misgiving, you stifled yourself, as the saying goes. You didn't listen to your own intuition telling you there's something not quite right, and you turned a blind eye to what was going on, to the extent that when it happened, it was a real shock when you lost your powers, okay, when they were really taken from you. Also, my feeling is you were betrayed.
Right, with Pluto in the 12th, yes. It's a hidden enemy.
Yes. You were betrayed, and you lost everything.
That's very much a hot button to me. Betrayal is very much a hot button to me in my life. I wonder if that...
Absolutely,
Steve. I didn't hear what he said.
He said betrayal is a very hot button for him.
Yes, oh yes. Yes, yes. And as a result, you were also beheaded.
Oh.
Okay.
Is your neck hurting there, Steve?
Well, no, I can... dispute my mom, who says I have two heads, but you know, I only got one, I guess.
But you know what Phyllis said is true. With Pluto there in the 12th, it was very Machiavellian the way your power was usurped from you. I almost want to say a coup, but that's almost too political. But it's very much along that vein.
Yeah.
And you felt very, very betrayed.
Yes.
And you were. You were.
And you were, and you have every right to feel betrayed. But, you know, it's a saying, get over yourself and move on, because now... those people who betrayed you, I can tell you, are suffering that in this lifetime. Okay?
And you know
because
something,
Steve? We reap what we sow.
And you know something, Steve? You came in with a 3-degree Pisces sun, which tells me, even though you were incarcerated, or as Phyllis said, you know, you lost your life, you were beheaded in this last lifetime, you actually forgave these people. So you earned this juicy degree in compassionate understanding. However... so you might find it very easy to forgive people in this lifetime. But with that Pluto in the 12th, you don't forget.
No,
I know it sounds like a dichotomy, but there's a part of you that it's almost like a buried resentment. You forgive them, but it's almost like you just can't forget and move past it.
Yeah. Right? One of my pet peeves is repeating the same mistake in my present life. So I imagine that's probably,
right,
has something to do with it as well.
But you have an incredible forgiveness.
Yes.
You have an incredible forgiveness ability, almost to the point where you can enable others.
It's okay to forgive. It's really not okay to forget, because then we don't have the
right
wisdom of our experience. Okay?
Right.
You can say, I forgive you, and go on fat, dumb, and happy, but you don't have to interact with the same people. And they will try to get back with you. And sometimes you have to say, look, I forgive you, but the line is drawn in the sand, and there's nothing else between us, so hail and farewell. Okay.
And that would be great with Pluto in the 12th, unfortunately,
yes,
because it's suppressed. It's almost like you go a little bit beyond that. You feel a little bit more threatened than you should when positions of power are opened up to you, or you constantly remember about the past to the point where it threatens you, and it might even paralyze you at times from taking any action.
So what you might do is when power is open to you, just grit your teeth and accept it.
Right.
Okay? Walk into it, and your heart will be pounding, and you'll feel like throwing up and all that lovely stuff, stage fright, I call it. But if you can steel yourself to take that first step, you are going to find it beneficial to the extent that you are going to wonder why you waited so long to make the next step.
Absolutely, Steve.
Okay?
You, with that Leo there on the 12th, you, when you step into power, I don't mean you want to be secluded. I don't mean having your own business. I mean, when you step into an out in the public position,
yes,
of power, leadership, or authority, that's where your true joy is going to come in. That's where that Pisces sun is going to shine like it's never shone before, because it's you moving past what happened to you in the past and saying, I can do this, and I don't, and I'm not going to rely on counselors. I'm going to do it myself.
Yes. Does that make sense to you, Dale?
In an odd way, it gets kind of tiring just feeling like you're stifling yourself because you're consciously making decisions not to.
Absolutely. It's more tiresome trying to avoid what you came into this life to do.
Yes. You've got to be really...
Insightful.
It's what's frightening.
Well,
and you've got such great energy.
So
you've got such great energy.
I enjoy your show, and Marguerite, I really enjoyed your book.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Wonderful.
I so appreciate that.
So how about stepping into your power and doing what you came here to do? Because you know what? If you don't do it, you're going to have to come again and try doing it again. It just keeps coming around. When we don't do it the first time, we keep coming back. We keep repeating grades. I don't know about you, but I get bored real quick now.
Well, Steve, when you come back, I want to be one of your counselors the next time.
Well, as they say in Britain, I'll give it a bloody go.
I think you were in Britain in your last life, so you might be back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve, very much.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, this is so much fun.
I know it is.
I'm so glad people are calling in. This is absolutely wonderful. It's some of the most wonderful things are beginning to happen in this world, I think, with the new power. Give us a little insight into President Obama.
Well, President Obama, I don't know. I don't have his exact birth data on me, but one thing I do know about him is that he has a degree, as we were just referring to, in Leo. So his previous path of soul development was spent learning how to expertly radiate and confidently celebrate life, power, love, and talent. And he's now here in this lifetime to show all of us how to skillfully generate and honorably glorify all those kind of basic internal powers like spirited vitality, courageous leadership, and creative brilliance. He's very much like the sun, where all the other planets orbit around the sun. When you come into this incarnation with a degree in Leo, you're here to show everybody else how to have the best possible life by being an example yourself.
You know, and that's very important.
I agree.
And I don't know, but one of my philosophies is if I can't ask somebody to do what I'm not willing to do myself, or to be what I'm not myself willing to be. And that's kind of my philosophy in life.
I think it's a great one.
We show through example, and that's my feeling, that if we can show through example, we've got it made. No, I don't know. I know he was born overseas.
Right, I believe he was born in Hawaii, but to have
the exact town and
the exact time and date to find out what was on his 12th house cusp. But I do know that with everybody who has comes into this incarnation with a degree in Leo, they're extremely, all of them, unless they have some really severe afflictions to their son, but all of them are extremely supportive of the people around them.
Yeah.
They're the first to jump in and help. They're the first to try to stand up and applaud when somebody else is having a wonderful day. Of course, they expect that as their birthright, but what? They've earned it because they are so great in supporting other people and glorifying them and celebrating their lives and shining the energy in onto them and making them feel good about themselves. That's what they do best. That's what they have their degree in.
Okay.
And if you'd like, we can take a quick trip around the zodiac. I don't have people's birth times, but if any of your listeners, just by the degree, in other words, what constellation the sun was wending its way through at the moment of their birth, we can tell them something about their degree.
Great, go ahead. Sure.
Okay. If you came into this, we'll start with Aries. If you came into this incarnation with the sun in Aries or wending its way through that constellation, you earned a degree in independence and the physical self. That means your soul's previous path of soul development was spent learning how to confidently pursue and courageously confront things like danger, conflict, challenge, and opposition. You're now here in this life to show all of us how to lead and inspire ourselves and others through those ego-building experiences of things like personal ambition, independent accomplishment, and physical involvement of any kind. Now, if you came in with the sun in Taurus, you earned a degree in personal values, material resources, and concrete results. And what that means is your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to physically acquire and reliably maintain things like value, stability, satisfaction, and results. So you're now here in this lifetime to show all of us how to produce and, yes, appreciate the tangible, touchable benefits of physical comfort, material possessions, and concrete results of any kind. Now, if you came in with the sun in Gemini, you earned a degree in communication, education, and networking. And that means your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to brilliantly discover and reliably exchange things like language, information, people, and ideas. You're now here in this lifetime to connect all of us to each other through those very intellectually stimulating channels of things like communication, education, commerce, and transportation. You're here to connect us. If you came in with the sun in Cancer, you earned a degree in emotional security and domestic stability. That means your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to very instinctively create and, yes, sustain the things like support, belonging, protection, and intimacy, all the things that are necessary for both emotional survival and domestic stability. So you're now here in this lifetime to show all of us how to cherish and preserve. It's the preserving that's the hard part. All the emotional sanctuaries of things like home, family, mom, and the past. You're here, maternal care. You're here to show us how to preserve and embrace those things. If you came in with a sun in Leo, like I was talking about, our new president, you earned your degree in personal distinction and creative brilliance. And like I said about him, your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to brilliantly radiate and very confidently celebrate life, power, love, and talent. So you're now here to show all of us how to generate those things and honorably glorify all those basic internal energies and powers like our spirited vitality, our courageous leadership, creative brilliance. This is what you're here to show the rest of us how to live life and enjoy it to the fullest. If you came in with the sun in Virgo, you earned a degree in physical perfection and practical service to others. And I call this the helpful know-it-all. They have a rough time, Virgos, because they do see all the flaws in this lifetime, but they were physically trained. They were universally trained to find them. So your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to accurately analyze and very proficiently repair things like data, policy, procedures, and yes, unfortunately, people, us, you know. So you're now here in this lifetime to show all of us how to be of useful service to others through those mundane practical tasks of daily employment, routine activities, physical fitness, and typos. They find them. There's nothing we can do about that. They're good at finding them.
And that's a Virgo.
That's a Virgo. If you came in with a sun in Libra, you earned a degree in cooperation, commitment, and partnership. So your soul's previous path of development was spent learning how to skillfully create and collectively appreciate things like love, beauty, harmony, and equality, and justice. Mm-hmm. So you're now here in this lifetime to show all of us how to not only attract but reciprocate those aesthetic benefits of mutual commitment, meaningful relationships, and social collaboration of any kind. Sun in Scorpio, you earned a degree in shared resources and mutual power. And that means, or the reason for that is your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to skillfully access and expertly manipulate all the complex energies of power, control, passion, and anything unknown, anything that's kept secret from us. So you're now here in this lifetime to show all of us how to penetrate and master those emotional depths of things like powerful intimacy, unknown forces, and all the life and death issues, like crisis, catastrophe, all those things that, like sex is a life and death issue, life begins with sex. So how to master and expertly manipulate them and understand them. This is, you're here to show us how to do that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a very powerful degree. You came in with the Sun in Sagittarius. You earned a degree in truth, knowledge, and enlightenment. And this is the sign that was on your 12th house, Phyllis. So your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to romantically pursue and masterfully promote truth, knowledge, justice, and adventure. So when you come in with the Sun in Sagittarius and you've earned a degree in that, you're now here in this lifetime to show all of us how to broaden our minds and our horizons through those challenging frontiers of things like global communications, higher education, moral philosophies, and distant places. When you come in with a degree in Sagittarius, you're here to show all of us how to move beyond our childhood limitations. Okay? Sun in Capricorn, there's you, Phyllis. You earned your degree in career, responsibility, and reputation. And based on what you told me about your past life, this makes a whole lot of sense. Your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to skillfully earn and effectively utilize the power you had, the authority you had, the respect you had, and the status you had. So you're now here in this lifetime to show all of us how to not just manage, but to master the official responsibilities of parental authority, professional career, and our public reputation, what people think of us, what we do in the outside world. Mm-hmm. Sun in Aquarius, if you came in with the Sun in Aquarius, you earned a degree in social reform and creative ingenuity. So your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to not only brilliantly envision things like change, friendship, invention, and tomorrow, but how to collectively provoke them as well, how to get a group of people together and make that happen. So you're now here in this lifetime to show the rest of us how to stimulate and inspire all those humanitarian ideals of progressive thinking, universal brotherhood, and a better society. The last one, if you came in with the Sun in Pisces, like our last caller, Steve, you earned a degree in emotional healing and compassionate service to others. So that means your previous path of soul development was spent learning how to dissolve divisive boundaries, how to rehabilitate all those harsh concepts of reality, and how to create alternate states of consciousness. Nobody's better than a Sun in Pisces at making the pain go away. You are now here in this lifetime to show all of us how to be of compassionate service to others through the idealistic concepts of having unconditional faith, having an incredibly creative imagination, or through psychological health, which is why the lines can get so blurred with Pisces. They can start out as the rescuer and end up being the victim because those lines are so blurred they don't have any divisive boundaries in their life. They learned how to dissolve them, something we don't know how to do yet. So those are the 12 degrees of the ecliptic that we come into each life with. Every time we come into an incarnation, we've come in with some kind of a degree. Now, we might spend 3 or 4 lifetimes with our Pisces degree earning the next degree, but that sign on the 12th house tells me the current level of soul evolution.
Wow. That's phenomenal.
It is, and it's very interesting. It's very helpful, I find, you know.
Oh, it is. I mean, absolutely fascinating to me. And tell people a little bit about yourself. You've gone through this, and we have a few minutes left. Not many, but...
Oh my gosh!
But
time went so fast,
isn't it? And you're going to have to give information for contact, my love.
Well, I would love everybody. If anybody has any questions, they would like to all of your listeners now. I'd be happy to send them their own cosmic karma birth chart by logging onto my website and just sending me their birth information. My website is www.marguerite.manning.com. That's my name. And they send me their birth information. By birth information, I need the correct date, time, and city of your birth. And I will send you back your own cosmic karma birth chart. And I, with, by doing that, Phyllis, all your listeners, I'll put them into my database, which is a very private database, but then they can call up the next time I'm on your show and get a free mini-read or any other show and
Wonderful.
Get a free mini-read.
Wonderful.
And my book, Cosmic Karma, can be purchased on Amazon or at my
Wonderful.
Publisher, Llewellyn. So.
Yes, or you can get it if you go into the store. Or
any store, Borders, Barnes & Noble, it's everywhere.
Okay. Well, I would love to have you on again sometime.
I'd love to be back. I hope you come down for my workshop in September down here in
oh,
Fredericksburg. We're not far.
I would love to.
And we had a workshop not too long ago together. I would love to have another one.
I would love that, too. We might have one maybe for our hypnotherapy group. I think that would be a ball.
That would
maybe
be wonderful.
Maybe come back on in May or June. Would you like that?
I would love that, Phil. Thank you once again for having me. You were great.
Thank you. Well, if there's anything else you want to whip up, what about the year 2012? We haven't said goodbye yet. Is there anything you can say about
that? I find that that's a lot of gloom and doom. I believe that the year 2012 is going to be one in which we see a new world take shape. But I don't think it's because we've destroyed the old one.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to be because we've destroyed our old and probably bad habits or way of doing
that
things.
That would make sense.
I tend to look at it that way because
yes.
I believe it's about empowerment
yes.
and enlightenment that any
yes.
of these forecasts.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. I don't think we're going to disappear in a puff of smoke.
I don't either.
and I don't think it's going to be divided into fields of bad and good. I think there are those who will move forward with us, and there are those who will continue trying to make life. And
that's what
out.
The Age of Aquarius is we're going to be
yes.
a more humanitarian
yes.
world,
yes.
a progressive world, you know, and I think that's what's
yes.
going to be, that's going to come to fruition in 2012.
Yes, yes, and that's a good thing.
Yes,
that's
absolutely,
good thing.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we have just about made it to the time that we have allotted for us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very, very much for listening. I'm your hostess, Phyllis Pricer. You can reach me at area code 202-387-2080 or my email, psychicworlds4@aol.com or always through BBS Radio. And Marguerite, I'll be in touch shortly, and we'll try and set up another time.
Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye now.